Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. I'm your honored host. A little worse for the wear, honestly. A little tired. You thought a baby made you lose sleep. Well, try going to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for the needle to move on election results. I don't know if you had the same experience. That was my experience last night.
It didn't move.
I mean, these states just decided, we're just going to be done counting now. You know, it's only, this election only happens once every 4 years. We're just going to stop counting. We don't feel like, there's no hurry.
Right. Exactly. There's no hurry. We know how many we need to bring in.
Right. We figured it out now. So we need a few hours to get this straight. Uncle Cat's course, Uncle Kevin riding shotgun. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. And it's a semi-sad day in America. That's the first time I've ever said that.
A semi, wow. It is a little. I mean, Todd.
Yeah,
little,
I'm never down. I'm just mad as fire.
Pete Hendrickson is going to be here in the second hour. I've debated what to do. You know, as far as do we just going to talk election, whatever. I don't. And we can do that with Pete. Pete, of course, wrote Cracking the Code. This is a seminal book. If you're curious at all about the IRS, you're going to want to hear this interview. If you care at all about who you are and your relation in the de facto government, you're going to want to hear about it. If you are interested at all in anything interesting, you're going to want to hear this interview with Pete because, what he's going to reveal about the IRS, about who you are, about what the government's done, about the characterization and the proof and the evidence and the success that he has had is legendary. This book is legendary, and we're excited to have him on. He'll be on. And that doesn't mean, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the election some, too, and all that. Pastor Butch is going to stop in. We want to get his perspective. He called me a couple days ago, and I think it's always good to get his perspective. He's been around a long time. He's been in radio a long time. And you know, he'll just pop in and say what's on his mind, so we're going to be happy to have him. Of course, we're going to do news. We're going to talk about that, and we want to hear from you. I know people yesterday had trouble getting on the phone. Look, when you call and you can't get in, please don't give up. Call back for whatever. Don't even get me started about the phone system and the amount of pressure. I've told you about YouTube. I mean, do you understand? I don't know if you do. I'm going to tell you. There's certain phone systems and certain things that we try to get that our system tries to get so that we can use. They will not take us. They will not take us. Because of what we talk. So when this election and where we are and the future of this show, the future of America, I mean, we're sitting just below the surface and we can see these things. And we've shared some of these things with you. And, you know, now you're seeing it with President Trump anyway. Your call, 844-769-2944. I know you got something on your mind. 844-769-2944. Please call. Todd, just let me know when somebody calls in, and then we're going to talk about the news. Kev, your initial before we get into news and what have you, your just initial thoughts, you know, as you're watching the election, you know, about 7 o'clock, about 10 o'clock, and then when you went to bed, what the three stages of your experience last night?
You know, I had no doubt that Trump was going to win. And the only thing that was – I said it yesterday, gave me a little pause, was all those mail-in letters, you know, ballots. And comes around, I start looking at it at, you know, 7 or something. I wasn't paying too much attention because I just knew Trump was going to win. And so it was close when I first started it, and then Trump started to pull away. Remember, we were listening to it together. We had North Carolina. I had it on New York Times, and they had a little meter there. He went from 3.5 down within a half hour to 1 point up, you know. And then you were watching Fox and going, "That Fox ain't saying that," you know.
I was surprised with Fox. I was really surprised. I spent most of the night watching Fox. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and forth between CNN and MSNBC. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of the coverage on the other two channels I like better than Fox.
Okay.
I, I, I really did. It was interesting. Anyway, could continue.
And then he started to pull away, you know, and I said, all right, here it's going. You know, he's starting to pull away. He's getting, you know, they're giving states to him, and they're giving, you know, the states that he's supposed to win handily. And then all of a sudden, Pennsylvania goes, well, we've stopped counting. I'm going, uh-oh, here's the beginning of the whoop-de-doo here, and sure as rain, why'd you stop counting, you know? They stopped counting
interesting, talking about Fox again. Uh-huh. I was sitting there, we're sitting there watching Florida. It was obvious Trump was going to win Florida for like, I mean, this is like 2016 all over again. Yeah. It was an hour plus. Everybody knew Trump's winning Florida. Fox did not call it.
Yeah, he's
Fox refused to call it. They had the electoral count on the screen. They kept Biden ahead. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This to tell you how they manipulate you and affect you. Okay, I can't remember what the total was, but it was early. It was like 120 to like 109 Biden, something around there. They would not call Florida. If they called Florida, they gave it to Trump, then Trump would pull ahead. So on the screen, you would see Trump ahead. Psychologically, he's ahead, blah, 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 blah. They would not call it. When did they call it? They waited till the polls closed in California until that, and immediately they called it for California, immediately Seattle or Washington and Oregon. And then That's Biden right. went way ahead, and then they called it for Trump, Florida right after, and now Trump
That's right.
Was still behind Biden. I mean, from the beginning, and could that Chris Wallace, I want to choke him.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
He's a dirtbag.
Yeah.
I am so sick of his conniving little,
and I didn't like his dad either.
Way when, okay, look, I mean, we're bouncing all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. If you saw some of these things, you kind of know what I'm talking about. If you're not, let me give you some perspective. Okay. There was a point in the night, like Uncle Kevin was saying, where they're going along counting these ballots. It's 90-something%. North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan was gained, Pennsylvania. And they decided to stop counting. We're going to stop counting. We'll pick it up tomorrow or Wednesday. No big hurry, no big deal. This is like a red flag to me.
This is the biggest
red flag. You don't count votes. This is the presidency is on the line. All of America's watching. At some point then after, about 11:30 Eastern or so, somewhere around there, maybe 12 Eastern, Joe Biden gets on and he says, well, every vote needs to be counted and we're confident we're going to win. I was scared at that moment.
I had the same feeling. Uh-oh, here it is. The fix is in.
Well, I tell you what scared me is the look on his face.
Oh, yeah, he was smiling.
Never seen that look on his face. He looked like somebody went in the back room and said, here's what we're doing. We got this covered. Don't worry. Yeah. Just go out there. We got this covered. That's what it looked like to me. Went through my mind at the time.
He smiled like a Cheshire cat.
He did. Like he knew something. This was all straight for him, and it was straight. That's what he looked like to me.
He sure did.
Donald Trump then said he's going to speak, you know, about an hour later. Well, it was an hour later. 2 hours went by. 3 hours went by. I mean, this is why I made sure I stayed up to see, because I wanted to see President Trump speak. President Trump gets up and he says, we've won this election. And why are they stopped counting these votes? This is an amazing victory. This is going to go to the Supreme Court. They are trying to steal this election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Immediately when he gets off from saying this, Fox News, Chris Wallace, this is why I just can't stand Chris Wallace. He immediately starts lambasting in his little conniving, backstabbing, backhanded way of undermining what Trump said and how ridiculous. And this is an affront to our democracy. This is an affront to America. This is absurd. Juan Williams, the same thing.
Even
some of the other, the only person that really kind of stuck up for the situation, Britt Hume. Britt Hume the whole night was like, why haven't we called these states? Why haven't we called these states?
Yeah, exactly.
Why haven't we called? And then the state, if it's any question about a blue state, oh, they call it for Biden already. Oh, it's called. It's called. Mm-hmm. It's called.
They called the presidency. They were talking that years past, just the same scenario that was put out on the board there, you know, with everything not done, they would have called the presidency for whoever was, you know, 4 years ago if it was the same scenario as Donald Trump had up on the board.
No question.
No question.
Maybe not 4 years ago, but 8 years ago.
Eight years ago, yeah. No question.
If this was Barack Obama or George Bush.
No question.
No question.
Done deal.
No question.
Because he was ahead. He was way ahead.
So then I turned to some of the other channels, and my God, you would have think that Donald Trump just dropped a nuclear bomb somewhere in the Middle East. I mean, oh my gosh, this is outrageous. This is over the top. This is what we're talking about with him. Let me tell you my opinion. And he had to say what he said. And he is not saying that unless he darn well knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes out and said they are trying to steal this election, he is not saying that to be saying it. So he gets that out there and he says it. He talks about the Supreme Court. The news story from Mike Adams that we talked about, I don't know, this has been a while. About the scenario, it looks like it's playing out pretty much exactly this point, exactly like some of the other, I talked to Daniel Esselin this morning. They delay the election. They say every vote must count. The media is complicit and comes right behind to support this. They won't let it look like Trump is winning at all. That's why all the things with the tallies and the way they did the tallies and Trump never would pull ahead and blah, 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 blah. Very important.
Not calling Florida, so people think
not
that
calling
out
Florida
west
forever.
To stop people from voting.
Right. So then they have the social media, Twitter behind. Donald Trump has tweeted something. It got censored.
Got censored. Yes.
Okay. Last night, if you think I'm not crazy, if you think this is crazy, you think this is whatever you think. Let me tell you what happened last night. After Donald Trump said what he said, 91% of the vote was in Michigan, was in on Michigan. Donald Trump had a 200, and let me get the exact so I don't speak out of turn here. He had the exact, he had a 200, about a 208,000 vote lead with 91% in. Over the next so many hours, Michigan continued to count votes, mostly from Detroit and surrounding areas, but not everywhere, but whatever. Michigan gives an update of 3% more. So from 91% to almost 94%, just under 3%, more vote comes in. It's 138,339 votes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 138,339 votes that they put up on the board that they updated their vote tally. I'm going to give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. How many of those votes went to Donald Trump? Just take a wild guess. You say zero?
Mm-hmm.
You are 100% accurate. Not
statistically impossible.
Not one vote out of the next 3% in this tally. Not one vote went to Donald J. Trump. Not one.
Not one.
And if you want to say, oh, you're paranoid, you're overblowing this, you don't know what you're talking about. From my sources, what I have seen, what the evidence coming in, the people I'm talking to, you know, I have some connection or some relation to some of these things. The level of fraud is off the proverbial charts.
Yeah.
People say, I've heard people say, well, like my cousin called me, well, America's stupid. America's not doing this. America did not choose this. Now, you can say America was complicit in the corruption. America would let this go. You could say, this is what happens, Donald Trump, when you don't arrest people, you don't arrest criminals. You could say
that's
that.
Right. Big time.
Your thoughts, Kev. I don't know where to go with this. This is kind of where we're at right now at this point, and then I'll break down where the state's leading this morning, and then we'll go from there. But your thoughts on any of this?
Yeah. The bottom line is it's Donald Trump's fault for not arresting all these people. We wouldn't be going through this garbage if he would have, instead of hiring Barr, hired Giuliani. I think Giuliani would have got to the problem, started putting these people in jail. And then they would have thought twice about trying to steal the election because they'd know they would be going to jail. So it goes back to a lot of the blame goes for Trump. And if Trump doesn't pull this out, if he doesn't correct this and win, he's going to be the most hated person in America because he allowed this to happen.
I won't see that way at all. I don't hate Trump.
For losing like he did? Yeah, absolutely.
I don't feel that way. Maybe you're right. Maybe you seem to feel that way.
Well, he didn't do anything. He could have arrested it. Okay, Barr's not. Well, I tell Barr to do it, and he doesn't arrest it. Get somebody else.
Find the sheriff.
Find anybody. Giuliani wanted the job.
Here's the information. You don't have to be. It doesn't have to be Bob Barr to arrest somebody. You can get any law enforcement. Here's the evidence.
Anybody.
Do you think that? You know, I just imagine that the level of backdoor dealings, and if you don't straighten this out, I'm going to show this and the planned mutual destruction and the evidence. And I got this laptop with, you know, Hunter Biden and the Chinese and all this and blah, 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 and da, da, da. I mean, is all this going on right now?
But they got the news socked up. Where are you going to put it out? Put it out on billboards? Who's going to show it?
Okay, right now, last night when we left, I did not want to make this prediction. This is kind of, I didn't think quite like this, quite this obvious, quite this blatant, but, you know, these were certainly concerns. That's why we had James McKinney on to talk about fraud. I mean, we spent most of the show yesterday, the broadcast, talking about fraud, and there's a reason. This is why. As it stands right now, the states we talked about, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, are right in the crosshairs. Nevada also actually is in the crosshairs.
Yeah, I mean, Nevada was in there too. Yeah, Arizona's in there too. Trump was ahead in Pennsylvania. Trump was ahead by 700,000 votes when they stopped. Michigan, he was ahead by over 300,000. In Wisconsin, he was ahead by 120,000.
Enough to where it would have been highly
improbable
Joe Biden to win
any of them, but now
he's leading multiple of them.
He's winning all of them.
Well, not Georgia hadn't updated. They're waiting to see, and you can tell they've stalled these counts and these because they wanted to see all the paths what they could get done. They wanted to leave as many paths open.
That's right. How many do we need to win? Well, we got to throw a couple here and a couple there.
Yeah, we don't know if we can get Pennsylvania, or we don't know if we can get this. We got to keep these open too. We got to keep Georgia open.
Yeah.
And it's the democratically controlled cities, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Every instance, is Common Core math that pervasive that these people don't know how to count? Do they not know that there's an election every 4 years?
Yeah, they do. They've been practicing.
Oh, Mark Levin says, let's not pretend any of this is normal. Well, what's normal is the corruption. And, you know, I'll put something back on you, Mark. I mean, why haven't you, you know, well, I know why, because you're on Fox News and you can only say certain things.
That's right.
I know. But why haven't you been screaming about this? Last night, the only, on Fox, Tucker came on, talked about, it was such an unbelievable, my favorite moment, like, after I started getting upset about all the votes. My favorite moment was when the statistician for Fox, comes on and he's talking about the election and, you know, how, trying to make himself feel like he's not totally useless because they were so wrong. And then right after that, about 15, 20 minutes later, Tucker comes on and thinks, these people need to be held accountable, these prognosticators.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to fire them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Lou Dobbs comes on. Lou Dobbs laid it on the line. Tucker laid it on the line.
Yeah, Lou Dobbs is great.
Lou Dobbs laid it on the line last night, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't hear him. What do you have to say? I missed Lou.
This is obvious. He said basically what we've just said. This is obvious. They're cheating. This is why the president said this. This needs to be stopped. This more or less, you know, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But nobody else would say it like that. They're just sitting there on their hands. We're just reporting back and forth. It looks like And he went right after the president said, stood up for the president. I was so proud of Lou Dobbs that he would. Why can't anybody make this observation? In what world do these states, all these situations, they all stop counting votes?
I've never heard of it. Never.
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 We're going to stop counting votes. We're not going to count votes anymore. And then the obvious thought is, well, I guess they're going to try to figure out how many votes they need or do
that's
whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's the obvious.
That's the obvious that's thing. That's the first thing.
Another fantastic thing Trump did.
All right.
Fantastic. I mean, I don't know if we realize for a sitting president to say they're trying to steal this election. For him to say this, the fraud, for this facade and to break right through this facade and all these people in these suits sitting up there and trying to create legitimacy in this situation. He said, no, they're trying to steal the election.
Yeah, like it's a legitimate election, a baloney.
Franklin Graham says, pray for our nation.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a poster of Donald Trump on my wall. I don't.
I do.
Uncle Kevin does.
I got three.
There's so many things. There is no other choice. There's so many factors at play here that Pastor Butch is going to be on another side. Let's get his perspective.
Good.
And we'll go some of these notes. We'll go from there. This is not what I wanted to deal with this morning. I don't think you
me
did
neither.
Either,
no, me neither.
Hey, we're here. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call. Pastor Butch on the other side. Stay tuned.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat Numana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Our next guest is a great friend. He called me a couple days ago. We were talking back and forth. He's been on the radio and been in this industry for several decades. He is known throughout, especially shortwave. I'm proud to call him a friend. I'm proud that he's on today. Pastor Butch from Called the Decision Ministries, the Called the Decision radio show. Pastor, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you, Daniel. It's an honor and privilege to be here. Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing half-ass.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You had that, Pastor. I told you don't feed the squirrels now.
Maybe don't feed the nuts is what you should say. But anyway.
It's great to talk to you. It's pretty interesting times we live in. Just I'll start off with, what are your thoughts right now? What's going through your mind?
Well, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but, you know, Daniel, first and foremost, I've been preaching for well over 40 years now and pastoring for at least 35 years of that. And on the radio, this come March, make 29 years. And I'm a slow learner. I'm not bragging on what I think I know. I'm a slow learner. I know that. I'm not the brightest bulb in the house. But one thing I've seen over the years, and that's been decades now, at least four decades since I've had my eyes open to the scriptures in Christ and tried to learn about him. I've watched four decades, and many elections have taken place in those four decades. And I've watched one theme that we've all seemed to forget about, and it's something that has cost us our nation. And I'm not here to throw stones. I'm guilty also. There's no one working on this earth today, especially in America, who has not been guilty of some neglect or ignorance of what we should be doing. But, you know, in the book of Amos, God wrote and told Amos to tell the people of Israel that he put a plumb line among them. And you folks know what a plumb line is. I know you do, Daniel, so does Kevin. You know what a plumb line is. When you're building a house, you have a plumb line. A plumb line so you won't get off course. And if a plumb line's off a quarter of an inch at the beginning, it can be off 10 feet at the end. You know, you follow what I'm saying. A plumb line has to be plumb. So the Word of God is our plumb line. And it sets forth guidelines for everything in our lives, everything, and every document, good or bad, written by man. And we were privileged to have some very good documents written for our nation by godly men who understood the truth. But every document written, no matter how well-intentioned, unless people hold it to the plumb line of the scriptures, it's going to get off course over a period of time. And look where we started in our nation, and look where we are today. If our founders could see what the church, and I'm not blaming the White House, State House, the Courthouse, I'm blaming the Church House. If the founders could see what the pastors in these churches have allowed to happen in this country today, they probably hang the pastures right after they threw up. I mean, it'd be hard for them to imagine that we have come so far in this direction with the Word of God in front of us every day. We have it available, but we ignored it to the point now that we forgot about the plumb line. We've done everything our own way, and we followed our own unction, so to speak, and we messed up everything our God ordained us to do on this earth. There are only two world views: humanistic, which is satanic, or Christian, which is godly. Now, as I say Christian, Christians get me a word anymore that's banned around like nothing. It doesn't really mean a whole lot anymore. We'll say godly worldview is more to the point. If we would look at what we were told to do from the Word of God, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. We wouldn't have such a nation that's turned into such a socialist, a communist, wicked nation that murders babies and sodomizes your sons, perverts your daughters, and has perpetrated fraud on the people. Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah's crying before God and said, God, oh God, why have you let this happen? These people have dominion. This is your Bible, folks, in Nehemiah chapter 9. They had dominion over our cattle, over our lands, and over our body. They actually now have dominion over our body. You don't believe that? Don't take your vaccination. Don't fasten your seatbelt. Don't wear your helmet. See what kind of dominion they exercise over you. But he said, it's not your fault, God. We're the one to send. We forgot your plumb line, so to speak. And now we're slaves in the land where you put us for our forefathers to give to us as our inheritance. We're enslaved in it now. That's what Nehemiah said. And Daniel, we're in the same boat now. And it's not the politicians' fault, and neither Republican or Democrats. It's the church's fault because the church did not hold the plumb line before the people and in front of those that they said they wanted for their leaders. We're told how to vote, who to vote, and how to stand. We've forgotten that. It's not tidy any longer, and our nation and our God, God help us. Our children and grandchildren are going to be so confused in a land that doesn't even know what a boy and girl is.
Let me ask you a question. How is it that a Christian, or how can a Christian, I'm trying to figure this out. How can a Christian support any Democrat at all? The Democratic Party. I'm not trying to say we need to support Trump or whatever, but how can they support the Democratic Party with their policies?
It's easy. We get off the front line. The nation, and that includes all of us as a whole, have voted for those that will give us the most. Not freedom, not our liberty, but give us the most benefits. And the Bible talks about it in Proverbs. You see, if you sit down at the table of a king, in other words, you're sitting down in the presence of a leader, and you're given to appetite. This is in your Bible, folks. He said it's better to cut your throat than sit down at that king's table if you're given to appetite, which means that you're greedy for the things the king can give you. So if you ask for the king to provide for you, clothe you, house you, feed you, take care of you from womb to the tomb, does that make you a free man or a servant to the king? See, this is what we've forgotten, Daniel. We try to serve three masters.
Let me push back a little on that. The only thing I would say, I completely agree with you. I think it's a very profound observation, especially applying scripture to it. The only pushback I would give is, I don't think America chose this. If you're saying this vote, I don't think America chose Joe Biden.
No. I'm not saying even this vote. I'm saying that we're in this mess with the vote because we didn't keep the plumb line up over the years.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, that's what boils down to. Now, if we as a people, and I mean, especially those who call themselves believers, if we would search the scriptures first and our hearts and repeat before God and say, Father, we know we messed up. We trusted man for Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, housing, clothing. We trusted man, and you're a jealous God. You said so. We trusted them over you and chose to follow their laws, their ways, their doctrines more than yours. We've got ourselves in this mess. Help us, please, turn around. Help us become the kind of people that will serve you and your kingdom before we serve man. In Colossians chapter 1, we're told a beautiful scripture says that when we're born again, we become his people. He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So when you're truly born again, Daniel, you become a citizen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says you become a citizen of heaven. So our duty is to God first and then to what's right on earth. And it's duteous. And we all say rights. And I have no problem with the word rights. Our founding father said it in a beautiful way. But they actually implied more than that. It's not just my duty to keep my right to keep and bear arms. It's my duty to keep and bear arms, for example. In Numbers chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 4, Luke 22:36, we're commanded by the Old and New Testament to arm ourselves as a people, to defend ourselves and our family. And according to scriptures, if we don't do that, we deny the faith and worse than infidel. So, yes, God gives blessings. We'll call them right. But if we don't obey God, we lose those things. And this election right now is proof of what I'm saying.
What do you think the next? Where do you think this is going? This election.
I don't know. I'm not a prophet in that sense. I can take the scripture and give them maybe a blessing to take scripture and current events and show you where we are in time. And I can more or less predict what's coming next because the scripture says this is what comes next. I'm because I'm a prophet, but this falls in line with God, with what God says. I can say this: no matter who's elected, unless the people will stand and do what's right, there's no point in even trying to say that Trump can fix it, anybody else can fix it. Unless the people do what's right and demand right works and right by their leaders, it's not going to change. It's going to get worse.
What does that mean? Do right, live right, expect
that, that means
right,
to,
what does
that means
mean?
To demand that our leaders will keep their feet to the fire when it comes to things that are important and according to the Word of God and according to what we've been written in our by our founders. They've taken the Constitution, Daniel. They've taken the Constitution and twisted it so the women can murder babies. They take it and twist it so that homosexuals can get married. They've taken the twisted what was meant to be good and made it into evil and taken liberty and used it as a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, they've taken our liberties, our freedoms, and turned it to promote evil. Unless we reverse that as a people, it's not going to change.
They were showing some of these they weren't exit polls. I don't know what they were doing a bunch of surveys on a lot of different questions. And one of the questions was about abortion. And it said in America, 71% wanted to maintain stay legal and like 60 something percent wanted the Roe versus Wade to stay exactly like it was. Do you believe it's that high? Cause I don't know that I do.
High, you mean pro or against?
I can't remember, 65%, something like that, pro Roe versus Wade, 71% wanted abortion to stay legal. Do you think it's
well,
that
you know,
high?
It's very possible because this look at since happened since 1973, that's been what, 47 years ago? Is that right? You look at that, yeah, almost 50 years, almost half a century, we murdered children. Well, when you teach in school, when young people grow up in these 50 years, that murdering a child is okay for convenience sake. It's nothing but a blob of tissue. When the children are taught that and adults actually keep their mouth shut or don't want to cause them in trouble, the people that the children should look to for guidance, their parents or whatever, their teachers, either promote it or are silent about it. Yes, I believe it. I believe that the young generation today doesn't know that's really wrong. I believe that. Just like with homosexuality, 50, 60 years ago, it was not only a crime against man, it was a crime against God, and people were ashamed to even admit or talk about
it. Yes, but
today they're proud of it.
There was a stigma about it.
Yeah, it's called mind control.
I talked to how old was he? 15? I think it was 15. I talked to a 15-year-old. He's quite bright. 15-year-old. I mean, you could tell he was sharp. I don't know how somehow we got talking about guns or whatever, about America. So this 15-year-old proceeds the next 5 minutes to explain to me how a 300-year-old law is outdated and that we don't need the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I'm just dumbfounded. Of course, I pushed back on him. I was pretty aggressive with a 15-year-old, but I was. I mean, I didn't care. I don't care. We're ideologically at war. We are at war, ladies.
We are. Yes, we are. This is a war of ideas, and a war, and it should be a war of morals and integrity. Unfortunately, most people forgot what morality really is. We're confused with morality. When you tell a child ever since he's born, you can be whatever you want to be, a boy or girl. You choose today what you want to be. You can be a boy today and a girl tomorrow. What's it going to do to them? What's it going to do to their mind? What's it going to warp in their sense of values? And it isn't the professor's fault. It's not the politician's fault. It's the church's fault. And the pastors who haven't got enough backbone to build a jellyfish.
That happened.
And the pastors in America, they are nothing but a bunch of pulpit pimps as a whole. Not all of them. There are a few good ones, praise God. But they're a bunch of pulpit pimps. That's all they are. They get paid to appease the crowd, pass the collection plate, and buy another jet plane.
I'll go back. Where do you think this is going in general? Where in our country? Not just the election, just where have you. What are we staring at here?
Well, without repentance, there's no hope. And all that, I'm not being negative. I'm just telling the truth. Without repentance, no man can be saved. And that includes a nation. Without repentance, there is no hope. Unless you turn back to God with our whole heart, starting with us as individuals, we have to make sure that we are living with the word God says. And I'm saying this out of total respect to all people. I'm not trying to throw stones, but I will say this very clearly, that an individual's life or a nation's life that is not built on the moral grounds of the word of God cannot stand. You know the parable of the building on the rock and building on the sand. You know that parable. And no matter how well written our founders or anybody else writes documents to show what they intended, no matter how well it's done, unless that is kept built on the rock of Jesus Christ, it will crumble. The Bible says that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Christ is the cornerstone of all foundations of society, individual lives and family lives and national life. If he is not the foundation stone, the cornerstone, it cannot stand. We can reason, we can plan, we can think, and all these are all good. But if it's outside the plumb line, it won't last. It may start out looking really well, but in a matter of time, just like America, like every nation that's come and has reached its zenith and finally fell away, it's because they left the plumb line. Unless we come back to that, they'll never change.
I asked this young man also, he referred to the Declaration of Independence as a 300-year-old document, what have you. I said, well, the Bible's 5,000 years old. Do you see no value in that? He said, no, I don't.
See, that's a sad part. Have you read the Bird's Eye View of the Evolution of Nations by Alexander Tyler? Have you read that?
No, it sounds good. No, tell me.
Okay,
well,
it's just a 9-point. Let me read this to you. This is the Bird's Eye View of the Evolution of Nations by Alexander Tyler. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance, and that's where it starts turning around. Hosea 4:7 said, the more they increased, the more they forgot me. We started liberty by abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage.
Give us something to hold on to. Is there a remnant? Is there enough fervency in this country? Is there enough people who feel like you that can, I don't want to say save this, can they combine? I mean, I don't know. I'm grasping.
The hope that we mustn't give, hope is in Christ, Daniel. It's not anything else. We have to understand that Christ is my shield. Christ is my buckler. Christ is my anchor. Christ is my refuge. No matter what the world does, if we are in Christ, though they can put us in prison, they can even kill us, but they can't destroy the joy and the peace that Christ gives us. In this world, perhaps there is no real hope, and there isn't, because we're all going to die one day. But for our children's sake, we'll say, we as believers have to stick to the word of Christ and teach them the values of Christ to give them the foundation to build on, no matter which way the country goes. Our children need to know what's right and wrong in their lives and stick to it no matter what the cost. It cost our Savior his life on the cross of Calvary. Surely we can dedicate our lives to him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says we can dedicate our bodies to him as a reasonable service. Yeah, there's hope. There's always hope in Christ. And whether it reaches out and expands across the whole nation or the whole globe isn't the ultimate end of this. If it reaches out in my personal life and our family life and gives my children a foundation and a hope and a joy in Christ, it's worth the effort right there. If we could all do that, we would see the nation change.
Absolutely. Let's go to caller Susan in Ohio. Susan, Ohio, you're live on the Power Hour. What's on your mind, Susan? Hello, Susan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You are in live and in color. Yes.
Oh, good. I wanted to address all of you there. I'm glad to hear Pastor Butch Paul. I agree with everything he just said. I'd like to roll the clock back just a little further beyond 73, and we could go back even beyond where I'm going. But in 1962, they took one of the greatest defenses, one of the last defenses,
oh, yes,
away when they took the Lord's Prayer out of the mouths of babes in the public schools.
Wow.
Couldn't have that.
Yes.
The mouths of babes calling on our Father who art in heaven is a great weapon. It was one of the last vestiges of hope for this nation. What we have now, I would like to point out one thing. The adversary is extremely cunning. And the Bible says that he's brighter than his own. But the law of Yahweh makes us wiser than our enemies. And we're unstudied because of false shepherds. Now it says if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. And that's not a good thing. There are many out there that are sincerely blind, but we have a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. And this has just gone beyond the pale. Yes, Christ is our cornerstone. In Colossians it says, our Father brought us out of darkness into the light to convey us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Amen.
Oh, praise Yah. And we do. We need to spend our energy telling our children, because I believe there's going to be a remnant. The nation as a whole has just literally, it's in a pit. They project a right and a left, and neither one of them, they box it, and neither one of them stand on the stone of our salvation, the corner of the body of Christ. And so this is, it's time to stand guard. When I say stand guard, not all the guns in the world are going to save this nation. And I just wanted to call in and say I appreciate the program, and I really appreciate you having on Pastor Butch Paul.
Thank you so much.
You all.
Thank you so much.
I continue on.
Thank you so much, Susan, for your call. Thank you. Pastor, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Estlin will be here tomorrow and to get his perspective on this. And he's been kind of talking about this confrontation for a couple of years. And I talked to him this morning, talked to him a couple of days ago. He says this is going to work into some sort of civil war, civil unrest. I mean, to what degree is not sure, but that's where this is going to go. Do you see that, Pastor? Is it possible? I mean, when you hear that, what comes to your mind?
I agree. There's going to be bloodshed. But I want to make this point clear, Daniel. When we have to get down to picking up the guns, we've lost the spiritual side of the battle. If we were stood on the spiritual side of Christ, we wouldn't got this point. So we let it get to the point where now we have to maybe resort to guns, which will not help us unless we repent before God anyway. But I'm not saying I want to defend my family. You better believe I'll defend my family. I do carry a gun. I carry it behind the pulpit. I carry it in a grocery store. I carry it where I go. I'm not ashamed of that. I carry it openly so people can see it. It's not just my right. It is my duty to do so, and I do it. I preached at a little chapel Sunday before last at a friend of mine's chapel, and I wore the gun. And I told him, I said up front, I told him, I'll be carrying the gun. He said, that's fine. That's what you do, what you know is right. After the sermon, I didn't know how people were going to respond to that. One lady came up, she's carrying a little girl in her arms, and she tapped my gun and said, we need more men like you. And I said, thank you for saying that. Because real people, real believers, people that know what's right and wrong, respect men and women who will stand for what's right no matter what the cost. That's what it's going to take. That's what it has to be. We have to stand for what's right, Daniel, no matter what the cost. And we have to base our life first on the plumb line. Then we can boast of what our founders did. But unless Christ is behind it, it cannot stand. It won't stand. And that's just that simple. It isn't belittling anybody. It isn't saying anything differently from what we've been taught for generations in our country. At one time, the lady was right. We used to have prayer in school. I remember the teacher that pressed my life most was Miss Anna Dodrell. When I was in her class, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, She read to us the Bible every morning, at prayer morning. She would actually tell, back then, girls had to wear dresses. Imagine that. Girls had to wear dresses at school. Wasn't that chauvinist? But anyway, and boys had to have their hair cut. They couldn't have their hair long, and they couldn't have the shirts untucked. They had to look like men and ladies, then young ladies and men. But she would teach the girls how to sit like a lady, because one, you know, girl, she'd tell them, this is what you need. Don't show your petticoat. That's how insane it was back then to be taught morality and righteousness. And the Ten Commandments hung on the wall of the school, and she would say, these are the rules of our school here. Now, what happened?
Well, I mean, we talked 3 hours about that. We lost conviction. We let these people tell us, and we thought we were going to turn the other cheek, and we're just going to be nice, and we're going to be complacent, and we had no conviction. I've said this several times. I didn't want to say this morning. When they started taking prayer out of school in the 60s, especially in the South, how many fathers would it have taken to go down to the church or go down to the school with a shotgun and say, we're going to have prayer today. If you don't want us to, you come try to stop us. How many would it have taken?
And say, if you don't partake, you can leave. We're going to have prayer.
We're going to have prayer. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
Come hell or high water, we're having prayer, and I'm willing to give my life for it.
Amen.
So where are you on this?
I'm all for it, but it's kind of throwing water on it.
Now.
Yeah, we are. We're way past that. We're way past now. Now it's defending our homes is next. Defending our personal homes is next.
Stay there, Pastor. We'll get you a little bit on the other side. Stay there. Pete Henderson coming also. You're listening to the Power Hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all-natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.